Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. We are about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Tivolitalk Business Continuity Review conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Today's conference will be conducted via open lines. In other words, all lines will be open and interactive. If you would have a question during the conference, please state your name prior to posing your question. Because all lines will be open, we ask that you make use of your mute button whenever not speaking, or you may press star 6 to mute yourself, and please do not place your line on hold, as that will feed music into the conference. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Joachim Schmaltz-Reed. Mr. Schmaltz-Reed, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rufus. Now, welcome to today's Tivoli talk about business continuity review, or in other words, about the business continuity sales guide. My name is Joachim Schmaltz-Reed. I'm the technical evangelist for the Tivoli system automation family. And I hope you have the chart in front of you. The file name is Business Continuity Sales Guide. It's a PowerPoint presentation. And please open it. And I recommend to view it in presentation mode because it has some animation. So let's proceed to the agenda. I would like to start with the business issues that our customers are facing and the vision for a possible solution. I will introduce you the IBM Tivoli Service Management Center for System Z, and then a quick review of the system automation family, and then we go into business continuity value and basics, because it's important if you are selling the product that you actually speak the language that the customer knows, that you know a little bit about business continuity. And then I cover, or at least I have an overview about our new solutions that we have, and this is around two, actually even three products that we recently announced, the System Automation Application Manager and the Business Continuity Process Manager, and also System Automation for Money Platforms. And I try to not spend too much time on the basics because the most important part for today is the sales aspects, which is then classified IBM internal and business partners use only. So let's move over to chart number 3. This is actually maybe a well-known chart for you, but it has been updated to cover the business continuity aspects. So IT challenges today include that customers are actually forced to provide some business continuity solutions, so it's mandatory for them. And of course, all the other challenges remain: downtime, unaffordable, and certainly applications are heterogeneous by nature, are complex, and so on. But then if they are looking at implementing business continuity, they are facing more problems, especially how to test and document their business continuity process so that they actually can prove that they are prepared for disasters. And also, of course, how to recover business rather than just IT resources. So this is actually a one-size-fits-all chart. It covers the typical business issues that are being addressed by the system automation family. It also has, by the way, some speaker text. Now, on chart number 4, we have the vision for a business continuity solution. Customers today have invested in high availability and want to move over to disaster recovery based on their same high availability solutions that they already have in place, and they would like to recover their business rather than just the underlying resources. Yeah, so it should be really focused on their business. And also they want to execute recovery even by less skilled operators. It should be a pre-tested, at least partially automated process, and it should allow management at the business impact level. And again, it should be based on the existing IBM products and investments. Moving over to the Tivoli Service Management Center for System Z on chart number 6. This is essentially about IBM Service Management. You see the three layers, specifically for System Z. And the new thing is that the top two layers, which is the process managers at the top, and the middle layer, which is normally the configuration database or the service management platform, now we have all those products available on System Z, mainly on System Z Linux, so that you can build a Z-centric solution. And highlighted, of course, are the system automation family on the OMP level, the operational management products. And at the top level, as a process manager, our new business continuity process manager. If you proceed to chart number 7, you see the long product names that participate in the management center. And again, highlighted is our BCPM product. Proceeding to chart number 9 shows you the evolution of the system automation family. It all started on the mainframe back in 2000 when we came up with our Sysplex automation. We invented a Sysplex-wide automation manager, and that was the base for the automation that we ported to Linux and then later on to AIX. So we used the same cluster automation also on open platforms. That was step 2. And step 3 was integrating the first level automation, or integrating the clusters to achieve cross-cluster automation. And today we are at step 4, which is business continuity. So we are leveraging our end-to-end reach and integrate disaster recovery with cluster high availability and cluster automation. Proceeding to chart number 10, is actually my new system automation family overview chart. It's highly animated. So it starts with SAZOS. If you click once, you see that the system automation family is being extended. GDPS came up as a system automation application. Click again. And then you see that we ported it to SAMP, which is System Automation for Multi-Platforms, started with Linux and AIX. And if you click again, you see the candle products. AF Operator would be like a small system automation for simpler environments that don't have NetView. And SAIOM is the former AF Remote product. And it provides escalation, secure outboard automation, and also remote console access. And by the way, it also plays a role in our disaster recovery solution. So that is the family. If you click again, you see the step to the end-to-end automation. So we are introducing a first-level automation domain and an end-to-end automation domain, which is automated by the new system automation application manager, which used to be a SAMP feature. And it helps you establishing one operations and automation team. And if you click again, you see that we also integrate with non-system automation and even non-IBM first-level automation products. And also, as time went by, we ship new releases with new platform support. So today we have SA multi-platforms running essentially on everything but HP. And also the automation manager has been even ported to ZOS. So it runs natively on the mainframe. If you look closely, you see that GDPS overlaps with SAMP on Linux and also with SAAM on ZOS. And that is actually our special disaster recovery integration that we will discuss in this Tivoli talk. In the background, you see the new graphical policy editor that shows a SAP configuration, which looks maybe scary or very complex, but that also is an indication how powerful our automation is, that we can handle those complex configurations and reduce complexity and define automation policy and make it easier for the operator to handle. Okay, and finally, if you click again, you get the Business Continuity Process Manager, and that is now completing the system automation family. Moving on to business continuity value, so what value do customers get out of it? Of course, business continuity includes continuous operation, yeah, so it minimizes impact of plant outages, and then high availability, that would minimize impact of unplanned outages, and business continuity also includes disaster recovery, and that is essentially about surviving, to be able to stay in business even when you lose maybe an entire site. Proceeding to chart number 13, you can see that business continuity is not just being solved by recovering some IT resources. It's actually a management process, and it relies on each and every component in the business chain, and every component has to work. Otherwise, the entire process would be broken. Yeah. So if you click again, it's animated, you see that the chain actually now is without any problems. Chart number 14 prepares something that you can solve with BCPM. It's about testing disaster recovery procedures. That is actually not so easy today, but customers are forced to do it. They have to audit the efficiency of their VR plan. They have to benchmark it, rehearse it, document compliance to regulations. So that's a real pain customers feel. And they have to do that with a reasonable test coverage and with a minimal impact to their active production. So that would be a major pain that we are going to address later on. Moving over to basics, chart number 16, introducing some terminology. So business continuity is really about reducing the risk of a business interruption. And some other buzzwords that you have to learn is recovery time objective, which is how long you can how long can you afford to be without your systems. And recovery point objective would be how much data you can afford to lose. Okay, so that's terminology. And chart 17 shows you more terminology. Continuous availability, I think we already covered that. The new thing here is that typically high availability is, of course, implemented on clusters, so by introducing redundancy. You are, and in those clusters are typically limited to one side, but could stretch also to the other side. And if they do that, it would allow you to move applications to the secondary side, which would, of course, increase our disaster recovery capabilities. And it also would require some shared data access. Yeah, if you move an application inside a cluster, from the new system, you are required to access the same data, otherwise the application would not continue. So that's just a high availability, and disaster recovery would be typically built on top of HA products, and you have at least two dispersed sites, and a DR solution would include some site management capabilities, which are based on the underlying HA automation technology. And it does require data mirroring, normally synchronous, but if you're going over extended distances and if you can afford some data loss, it could be asynchronous as well. Chart 18 shows you more or less the different steps. At the very top, we have response time, performance monitoring. There we would fit with our IBM Tivoli monitoring family. Then we have network management below that, and then the whole area of application availability where system automation plays with all the different types of outages. And below that, we are getting into the business continuance area where we have to take care of data availability, maybe in storage area networks, and have to provide data survival in disasters. So those are the different steps. Now, in the next chapter, let's discuss the business continuity solutions that we have, and you already see on the title chart that this is about business continuity for Linux on System Z, provided by SAMP. Then some integration with GDPS from delivered by SAAM, and finally Business Continuity Process Manager. So on chart number 20, there's one overview chart about SA multi-platforms. If you don't know it, it has that System Automation Manager component that was ported over from our mainframe automation, and it actually works through active monitoring of systems, of resources, and then the key differentiator is that it is policy-based, and the policy describes application components, relationships, and also how to start, stop, and to monitor them. And the automation engine uses that information without any other required scripts to come to the right decision to recover any resources that have failed, either in place or moving them over, which is a failover, to another system of a cluster. And again, the only platform which is missing is HP. And at the bottom, you see the value that comes out of the policy-based automation. We even have plug-and-play automation modules. Goal-driven automation helps the operator to reduce errors. We have a GUI, critical resource protection, and so on. There's actually a brand new client presentation out on Extreme Leverage. I think it's active just 2 days. If you want to know more details about SA multi-platforms. And that's just about high availability here. But I will talk more about the special GDPS integration to provide Linux data or Linux disaster recovery on System Z. Some animation. And on page 21, we have the mentioned function. So it's essentially about surviving a disk outage on Linux on System Z, or maybe even a complete site failure with the help of GDPS, which is geographically dispersed parallel sysplex. And that has that product, or it's actually not a product, it's an IBM service. It's based on system automation for ZOS, and that has a special function called multi-platform resilience for System Z. And the short name would be XDR. And that provides business continuity for Linux on System Z. What it does, you would have to implement GDPS PBRC, which is the peer-to-peer remote copy that you also see in the picture, and also the hyperswap function, which is a software-based solution that is able to swap primary and secondary sites transparently to the application in a matter of seconds. Yeah. And this is what it can do. We can swap thousands of disk volumes, totally transparent to applications, to the secondary side or vice versa. So the application would not notice that it is now operating on the backup side. If the entire site fails, then of course the application would fail too, but then you could use SA multi-platforms if it was just one cluster to start it on the secondary side, or you would use even our end-to-end automation that could bring up the application in a different cluster on the backup side. Requirements are, besides GDPS, you need PBRC, which is also, by the way, a disk hardware function, and ZVM, and of course the priced SA multi-platform multi-platforms XDR options. So that comes for an extra price. On page 22, you see one of our reference clients. It's Bundesrechenzentrum Wien. And they have implemented it, GDPS, PBRC, XDR, and their business requirements were recovery point objective 0, continuous data availability, and a recovery time objective of less than 30 minutes. That's what they were shooting for. And actually what they got is an unplanned hyperswap user impact time of just 4 seconds. Yeah. And in just 4 seconds, we are swapping 1,200 volume pairs or volumes from primary to secondary, and we can continue without any outage. So that's really cool if we have customers that use Linux on the mainframe for mission-critical applications. Now let's move over to our end-to-end automation on page 23. You can see an actual application architecture, resources and the dependencies. The color would mean the platform, blue is mainframe. And as you can see, it's really complicated to manage an application that has that many components on different platforms and relationships. So let's click a button. And you can see that we can manage this with our system automation manager. Yeah, it's the same technology, but this time it overlooks the end-to-end automation domain. So we can manage applications and resources that have cross-cluster and even cross-platform relationships, and we provide automation for that. We can further increase our availability. It's easier to detect errors in composite applications. We can exactly show you that your business application suffers from some problems in a specific cluster and system. So this is really key if you want to do business continuity. Okay, now chapter 24 explains more details about end-to-end automation. At the bottom you see the first level automation with all the clusters we support and the first level automation products, SA multi-platforms of course. SA ZOS can be a first level automation component. And we can integrate, as I mentioned, on the family overview chart with HACMP and MSCS and even Veritas Cluster Server. So if you click again your left mouse button, we are populating the end-to-end automation level. So we are deploying a system automation application manager server. And now we can promote some of those first-level automation resources to our end-to-end automation level and create business applications that consist of those promoted resources. It's actually called resource reference. And you also can now define relationships between resources in different clusters, you know, something which was not able, available before SAAM. Okay. At the top, you see what end-to-end automation does. We automate composite business applications, and the value is we can create one operations and automation team. The operator do not require platform-specific knowledge. There's only one team. There's no ping-pong between teams. And the cross-platform dependencies also increase availability. Click again. And you see that this is now a new product. It used to be, if you click again, a priced feature of SA Multiplatforms, and now it is Tivoli System Automation Application Manager. Proceeding to chart 25, we have the details about 3.1, and don't want to lose too much time, but you see the graphical policy editor. The recovery time measurement and reporting is also very valuable for customers, and that even includes reporting from the mainframe. So the point I would like to use is the integration with GDPS, and this is called the Distributed Disaster Recovery function that helps you detecting disasters earlier. And also finally at the bottom, the configuration management database integration. This is something that often goes hand in hand with disaster recovery, believe it or not, because as you will see later on, we have integration with CMDB, and it is important to have the current configuration in your database, and we help you to put the resources that we automate enterprise-wide into the CMDB more or less for free or automatic. So that would be also a key element for business continuity. Chart 26 shows you that DDR function. Again, it's some new integration with GDPS. It does require GDPS, of course. And it is actually two-way. The first direction would be that GDPS can notify, actually this is a typo, it should be SAAM, our end-to-end automation, that there is a planned site switch. And then our end-to-end automation can do a coordinated automated shutdown of workload on the primary and secondary side. On the secondary side, maybe you need that to actually make room for your production workload because you want to move it over, right? And then, of course, the final step would be to start your workload on the backup side. And then the other direction, that our end-to-end automation can notify GDPS about some outages on the open systems. Now, GDPS itself does not include open servers, but it could include the data that is used on those open systems. And it is actually very important to detect a rolling disaster as early as possible. I consider a fire. It starts at the periphery, and it takes out the Windows servers first. And before it actually reaches the heart of the company, which is the mainframe, we would detect that through SA multi-platforms first, by the way, yeah, cluster-specific automation. And then SAAM would shoulder tap GDPS, and GDPS would think about it. And if it's serious enough, it would come up with that famous GDPS takeover prompt. That is, by the way, starting then a business continuity workflow in our business continuity process manager ECPM product. Okay, hope that was not too detailed. I also can offer you a scenario on page 27. You see two sides. Normally you have the so-called case system, which is the controlling system of GDPS on side two, because if you lose side one, you don't want to lose your site management. And right now everything looks okay, but if you click a button, you see a fire affecting Windows and AIX systems. Again, SA multi-platforms would detect it. You see the animation. It would notify the end-to-end automation. And now using our DDR integration, it would tell the GDPS system about that problem, and if it's serious enough, it would issue the takeover prompt, so the operator comes to a decision, hopefully using BCPM, by the way. And the decision is do the takeover, and then it's the communication into the other direction. So GDPS tells SA, hey, we have a disaster. Please shut down the workload on site one. And GDPS itself, by the way, can do the same using SA-ZOS and also using the capability to shut servers off, yeah, to really switch the power off. And if you click again, you see that we are stopping discretionary workload on site two to make room for the production workload. And finally, after that is done, click again. We can start the production workload, and the site takeover is complete. So that's a quick scenario that I think helps understanding what our disaster recovery integration actually does. Now, so again, it's about detecting disasters earlier and then also moving around workload across clusters, yeah, something that only IBM can do. Now, page 29. Introduces our business continuity process manager. It starts with 7.1 because that is the version number of our underlying CCMDB technology. And what it does, it is an extension to IBM Service Management by taking care of the business continuity processes. So we are automating those processes to make sure that if a disaster happens, our business systems are recovered as quickly as possible. And, of course, it's ITIL compliant. So it can be, and it has partial automation, so it can be handled by less skilled operators. It has built-in workflows, yeah, Maximo-based workflows, to make sure that the right humans or the right role players are actually involved in the decision process and in the execution of the recovery plan. Proceeding to chart 30, that shows you all the elements that make up BCPM. If you click once, you see the infrastructure. Yeah, so BCPM has access to the current configuration, the so-called CIs, configuration items. Then click again, it implements a disaster recovery workflow. Yeah, we have invented that, we ship it. So it starts with analysis, goes to approval, declare disaster, and so on. And click again, please. Then you see the disaster recovery. Recovery plan. Yeah, so a planner defines a recovery plan for a specific outage scenario. And that recovery plan is then selected as part of the workflow. And of course, we have as many recovery plans as you need, depending on the number of systems and business applications. You could have specific recovery plans for every business application. And if you click again, you see that we are implementing a role model. Analyst, approver, manager are typical roles that will use BCPM. Proceeding to chart number 31, this is crisis management based on documentation without BCPM. So you have NetFuel, you have GDPS, and GDPS issues that take over prompt that I mentioned. If you click once, it would have to be an operator that reads a console to find out about that problem. Click again. And then he would have to notify the crisis team. And of course, the crisis team doesn't sit around and wait just for the operator to be called about a problem, they are doing something different, yeah, so it will require some time to actually create that crisis team. And after you have it, they have to make up their mind what is required to be done, whom do we need to inform, how can we recover, who needs to provide an approval, what infrastructure is affected, and click again, how to select the recovery plan. Yeah, and if you click again, you see the problems. There could be communication problems. Even if you have implemented a BC process, there could be deviations. Yeah, nobody enforces the process like you defined it. You didn't have fire drills, and for the crisis team, there's no crisis and context information available readily. They all would have to collect that information manually. I mean, they still could use tools, but it would not be integrated, and if they mistype the CI, the configuration item, they would look at the wrong resource and maybe do the wrong decision. Now let's proceed to the next chart, which should be, what's the next chart? I think it's 32, yeah, it doesn't show a page number. Then you see the process with CCMDB and BCPM. We have the same setup, but this time the GO112E, the takeover prompt from GDPS, would be trapped automatically and sent to BCPM. We've got an interface for that. So it would trigger automatically a Maximo-based workflow. Yeah, again, this is a Maximo-based product. And we have a role model or a role-based workflow. So we would start with analyzing the outage, then it has the analyst actually recommends a recovery plan, which has to be approved or maybe not to be approved, dependent on what kind of resources have failed. We would notify impacted people. The manager would declare disaster, and the notification could be done, by the way, with system automation for integrated operations management. We could send out SMS and email, even to end users, to thousands of end users, if you wish, to inform them that we have a severe outage, but that we are working on it. And the response, by the way, could be automated to GDPS. Yeah, that GO112 is still sitting out there. We can respond to it and select the right recovery action, which would issue NetFuel scripts that would do the actual recovery. And finally, we would check whether the recovery was successful. And all that, of course, is supported by the CMDB. So we have all the configuration information readily available. because hopefully we have a system automation application manager that has put all known automated resources, and that is actually the core of the enterprise, of course, into the CMDB automatically. Okay, now that's the real scenario, which hopefully never happens. If you click once, you see the recovery plan that would be selected, by the way, based on the resources that are mentioned in that geo message. So if you see, okay, the problem is only disk related, then you would pre-select only recovery plans that are related to disk problems. If you click again, you see the test capability that is built into the product, very important, key value. So you can define test plans, and of course, there's also history information available that you can use to document that you have done it and to find out what worked, what didn't work. Yeah. Same for the recovery plan. If disaster strikes, maybe you have executed that recovery plan previously, and then you can go to the history to find out whether it worked or didn't work. So the test plan would actually simulate also the same message, and it would trigger the same workflow. Yeah, and you can actually select how hot the simulation should be, and of course you have access to the same data information. So it would be very close to reality fired well. Very important. Okay, proceeding to chart 33, you see that we have based our roles on IBM Tivoli Unified Process, and typical roles are the analyst, which does the outage analysis. Dependent on the recovery plan which is selected, you require approval, so it goes to the ITSC approver. And the manager finally would declare disaster, and that would execute the recovery action automatically, and so on. Yeah, so the important point is it's really based on our standards, which are in turn based on ITIL. 34 looks awfully crowded, but it's actually good stuff to read. I won't take you through that right now, but it is actually more or less a complete scenario that starts with, you know, a compliance officer that orders, hey, I need disaster recovery. Then they create a recovery plan, and then they schedule a simulation test, and at the bottom you actually have the simulation test. And it also involves, by the way, other products, other OMP products, to find out about the problem. Omegamon, TEDM would be important, and so on. So it's actually a pretty good chart. On chart 35, you see a screenshot just to give you maybe an impression how the product looks like. This is a True Maximo use interface. We didn't really change that because we wanted the same look and feel as other process managers. And if you click the left mouse button or down key again, you see the typical areas. You see the GDPS message. And the goal would be, this is very early in the outage. We are doing the outage analysis. You see the tabs at the top. And the goal would be to select the recovery plan and the recovery option. And then we would route this workflow to the next role, which would be the IT approver. Okay, proceeding to chart 36 shows you some typical questions that you could ask the customers. And I have the same chart actually later on, so we can skip it for now and go to the sales aspects, which is now IBM internal use only. So you can use all previous charts for the client if you want to explain our solution to them. Chart 38 shows you, believe it or not, the entire sales play for not one, but four system automation products on just one page. And it's about finding GDPS customers. So for GDPS customers, you have the biggest opportunity and the easiest sell. First off, they need system automation for ZOS anyway because it's a prereq. I mean, you wouldn't sell GDPS. It's sold by Global Services. But certainly you can help selling it, and this is the next part, because you can create differentiators for GDPS. Because GDPS, of course, has competition as well from EMC mainly. But we are adding with our products some key differentiators that nobody else has. And that is the mentioned Linux on system Z hyperswap function, and also the distributed disaster recovery, and finally the BCPM. Yeah. Average deal size, I think 200K would be the more or less the entry price, because BCPM itself is already 125K. So this could be easily half a million or even more. So if you want to make a lot of money, have a look at this. Target clients, of course, they have to have a need for business continuity, primary targets, GDPS clients, ideally Linux on system Z. And also good target are clients that implement IBM Service Management and a configuration management database. You see the client value statements. It's about surviving disasters, executing your recovery processes like they were planned and tested, doing fire drills, detecting rolling disasters earlier before the core of the business, the host, is affected, and also being able to shut down workload and move workload to the backup side across clusters, something that only end-to-end automation can do, and also about including Linux on System Z into the disaster recovery. Client message, I think you can read yourself, but again, believe it or not, everything is in just that small chapter. And page 39 is talking about good and bad clients. Ideally, of course, the customer already has GDPS, then you can upsell the XDR, DDR function, BCPM. Also, BCPM could be sold, of course, independently, so it does not require GDPS, but you have higher value if the customer already has GDPS. Expanding to System Z, Linux, mission-critical stuff on Linux would be a good lead. Implementing CCMDB, and very important, SA can help you populate your CMDB very easily. And in general, customers implementing IBM Service Management. Bad leads, if they only require basic disaster recovery, like maybe mirroring the data just to site 2, if they don't have GDPS, or if they are heavily siloed and are not prepared to overcome that silo mentality and work across platforms. Key competitors, none for BCPM, none for SA Application Manager. On the mainframe, we have CA with Ops MVS, but they have no real solution, or so they try to catch up. Main competitor is certainly Hitachi EMC, because they have that simple hyperswap capability at a good price point. But GDPS is the market leader. Proceeding to chart 40, more sales aspects. Again, main opportunity. I would like to point out that AIX support is not too far away, so soon we could also include AIX in the failover, in the integration with GDPS. Again, this is a big sale, but it could be incremental, which is also good, because you can sell it independently. You are not required to do a big bang sell. You can actually start rather small. Okay, you see what you can use BCPM for. And then you have the other extensions, Linux on System Z, end-to-end automation, the GDPS shoulder tap that I mentioned, SAIOM for alerting would be a small sell. And GDPS, I mentioned that, is not sold by you guys, but it does require SA and NetView, and also very special skills. So the recommendation is, if you go to your customer, take a GDPS guy with you. And if you're not so familiar with ITIL, take also an ITIL guy or a CCMDB guy with you. Now, disaster recovery is independent from client size. So even medium customers have it, but they might be looking at basic solutions like just doing a data replication. And here you see the main competitor, EMC, with a product called AutoSwap. And GDPS, by the way, itself also tries to extend into the distributed space. And for that, they are partnering with Veritas. But it is expected that they will use SA-Multi platforms in the future because Veritas, of course, is a bad competitor to Tivoli. Chart 41, discovering opportunities. So the low-hanging fruit would be identify GDPS clients, and for that, team up with your GDPS team or expert. GDPS is, of course, in the market as well. You can help the GDPS team, I mentioned that, by adding all those differentiators we discussed, for Linux on System Z, detecting disasters earlier, special integration of BCPM with GDPS and so on. But you have to be a little bit careful. Keep it simple. Don't create an overly complex solution. Focus on the client needs. That could be just maybe data replication in the beginning. But, of course, telling them about the additional steps, the additional value they could get in a staged approach. Teaming up with IBM Service Management is a good idea. Upselling from your system automation client base, and you also can prepare the field at your clients by using business continuity messages. Going to chart 42, that shows you that there's actually not a single starting configuration at your customer. There's different starting points. The customer to the left has a lot of system automation but no GDPS, so it could start with a GDPS cell and then extending it by XDR and the end-to-end shoulder tapping. And the customer in the middle doesn't even have system automation in the beginning. They have CA Ops, but they were forced to buy system automation because it requires GDPS. Happens quite often, luckily. And he, of course, could do upsells then to XDR, to DDR, the end-to-end shoulder tapping, and BCPM, and so on. Okay, so again, large incremental sell. Chart 43, I think I stole from Chris. So it's about whom you would like to talk to. Selling high is always a good idea. Just last week, I was at a customer in Poland, and the personas I dealt with were exactly the director, operations manager, the automation team, the mainframe team, and also the business continuity architect, or let's say manager. She was actually from the security team, but was in charge with the company-wide business continuity processes and was very much starting more or less from an IT perspective, so not very technical. Okay, value proposition on chart 44. Establish the value proposition, use the client's own data, some recommendations about return on investment and so on. Maybe not so important here in our case because business continuity is actually priceless. I mean, it's about surviving or not surviving. So how much is your life worth? 45, you have to click a button to start the animation, is the scripting, and I actually like the scripting. So if you get to the IT director or to the, architect for business continuity, you could ask, do you sleep well? Are you sure that your disaster recovery plan is tested and actually executed when the disaster strikes? Now, the new Tivoli Business Continuity Process Manager ensures successful recovery via pre-tested automated processes so that it can be handled by less skilled operators. And management is informed through automatic alerting, and they can approve execution of the recovery plan. In combination with GDPS and our end-to-end automation, you can recover your business rather than your platform technology. Would you like to sleep better? Well, I would like to sleep better. And on chart 46, you get the questions to ask. First would be general BC questions about recovery time and point objective, then more specific, maybe the first one is a little bit too generic about business rather than platform technology, but this leads to our end-to-end automation, by the way, because we have the overview about business applications across cluster boundaries. And then maybe the third bullet is very important. Are you able to test, simulate disasters with a reasonable test coverage and minimal impact to active production? Is auditing the efficiency of your disaster recovery plan important to you? Are you required to benchmark and so on? Next one about ITIL conformity. Would you like to notify management? Do you want to enforce execution of your recovery process like it was planned and tested? And for GDPS clients, we have some more questions, which are, by the way, extending this from BCPM also to our XDR and DDR function. Yeah, like the last one, would you like to detect rolling disasters earlier? Yeah, if you have GDPS. So those would be typical questions to ask. And the next page are objections. And one which could come up at the top is, when disaster strikes, we do not have time to use the business continuity process. In other words, they do not want to satisfy the tool. They more or less fall in chaos mode. They think they win time with that. Yeah. But the response would be, it is the opposite. You cannot afford to not use it, as any glitch might lead to data loss or the wrong decision. Do not fall into chaos mode. Do what has been tested and approved and enforce fast and orderly execution with BCPM. I think it's a good response. Next question, no objections. It must run on the mainframe. Well, it does. Yeah. The SAAM does run even on ZOS. And again, the SAAM would help you to detect rolling disasters earlier. And BCPM would run on Linux and System Z. That's the main support platform. Now, if the guy says, I sleep well, I want to help you to continue to sleep well by knowing that you have a tested business recovery and documented compliance to regulations. Again, I think not a bad answer. And then every customer, of course, is different, so they might object, hey, my shop is different, your business continuity scenarios, workflow, blah, blah, just won't fit. Yeah, and right, we deliver something out of the box, which fits most or many clients. Yeah, that has been, I mean, we designed that by working together with leading clients. But if it doesn't fit, the process can easily be changed and extended. So you can change roles, workflows, execution, and of course recovery and test plans is something that you want to change anyway. Now, if you want more information, especially about multi-platforms and end-to-end automation, there's selling guides out there and a lot of Tivoli talks, also about disaster recovery. Yeah, Dr. Norbert Lenz has done, I think, 4 presentations since last year that covers BCPM and our disaster recovery strategy in depth. We had a Pulse presentation. I've put it on Extreme Leverage. There's a sales sheet about business continuity. I included those 2 charts out of it. The field is being enabled. We had BCPM and, of course, also SA multi-platforms and system automation training. Demonstrations are partially available. We are working on a VMware image for BCPM. What we do not have, we don't have a demo for the entire, you know, mainframe XDR and DDR because that would be very complex. That would be something you have to visit here in the lab, or maybe in Montpellier, they of course have, they are specializing in GDPS. By the way, back to BCPM, maybe it's also important to tell the customer that the implementation could be staged. Yeah, GDPS is not required. And also the CCMDB is not necessarily required, so they can actually start with a very low effort and still get significant value out of that by tracing or by creating all those reports and history, how their actual disaster recovery actions have performed. So there's actually a new chart about those implementation steps that could be helpful. On chart 48, you see the key contacts. It's Chris Locker-Breton for sales enablement. I'm the technical evangelist. Dan Clemens is my backup. Product manager Butch Rambisch, Alison Ferguson. Creighton is leaving IBM, but today, of course, he's still our product manager. And worldwide sales lead would be Casey Plunkett. And on that chart, you see some important links. I call them master links and sales sheets. And maybe you know one or two of them about SAA, ZOS, and multi-platforms, but there are new ones about SAAM and also about business continuity, BCPM and SAIOM. So that is highly recommended because it really gives you fast access to the available information. And just yesterday I updated the SA ZOS one and the SA multi-platforms one. So they should be up to speed. Now, 49 is questions. Time is running out. So now would be the time to ask any questions, please.
And again, all lines are open. If you would like to ask a question, merely state your name. You do not need to press any buttons or anything. Just state your name and ask your question. And Mr. Smaltz-Reed, it appears that we have no questions at this time.
Okay, now that's okay, but in case we have questions, if you proceed one more page, yeah, you get my email ID, and I will try to get back to you to answer your questions. And if you proceed further in the presentation, there's some external links that are also available to customers. Yeah. So I would like to thank you for participating in today's Tivoli Talk and hope you will attend our future Tivoli Talks as well. Thank you.
And, ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's Tivoli Talk Business Continuity Review Conference Call. We do appreciate your participation, and you may disconnect at this time.